We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Pants, have you ever barbecued in your car?
Of course I have. What kind of question is that?
How do you barbecue in your like in
Ford Explorer? You're in the front seat. You got the charcoal grill going on back in the back.
Yeah. What about if you had like a convertible though? Like a convertible with a grill?
That'd be excellent.
Yeah. Just put like you just have the front seats and then you have the grill. There is no back seat. It's just a grill back there.
You like Escape from L.A. just riding around in a convertible and a big Cadillac with a grill out back.
Is that that's a thing?
That'd be fun. How fun would that be?
Oh, I'd love that.
What's the most extreme situation you've ever been in as far as tailgating? Like in a monsoon or something like that.
Oh, I'm sure I've gotten rained on before. Yeah. Growing up in Florida, man, it rains every day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've definitely been in some monsoons. I've never been in, like, I've always wanted to do, like, tailgating in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, negative 30 degrees. And they light tables on fire and then they throw. Like, have you seen these Bills fans?
It's backyard wrestling.
That's what it is.
Buffalo.
It's
the only way to stay warm.
Yeah, and they light these tables on fire and they'll body slam each other through tables. It's great.
Something last year. I think there was a big push from Buffalo to try to get them to stop.
What they've done is now they have like a tailgate area where you pay money to get in.
Mm.
It's one of those like you drop $50 and then you can have a couple drinks and food, but it's like foo-foo tailgating. It's not real tailgating.
Okay. I thought it was like $50. You can do whatever you want in this lodge. Because how fun would that be?
They don't let the ruffians in. They don't let like the real Bills Mafia in.
Just put a chain link fence around it, make it a cage match.
Yeah,
just get everybody in there and lower a giant steel cage from up above.
Yes, I love
and
it.
Then anything goes inside this cage. I've tailgated in a sleet storm before.
Okay,
you know, like 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. We were tailgating for a college football playoff game, for an FCS playoff game. And it was a noon kickoff or an 11 a.m. kickoff.
Yeah.
And so we were in the tailgate lot at 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
drinking. And you had to have a special drinking glove just to keep that beer hand warm. Because
a drinking glove.
Yeah, you had to have a drinking glove. The other hand stayed in your pocket.
Okay.
And then, we were drinking at 7 a.m. We're drinking mimosas where the champagne costs more than the orange juice.
Oh, yeah.
Or the other way around. The other way around. Yeah, the orange juice costs more than the champagne.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Andre would have been a step up from that.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That mimosa's a tailgate. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in the morning.
It's really hard to crack like a Busch Ice Light at 8 a.m. in front of a football game. That's hard. It's hard to do.
But are mimosas in football okay? And I love mimosas, but is it okay to...
Tell me, please, 71307. Just start your text with ESPN. Was that a party foul? Was that a football foul? Should we not have been drinking mimosas pregame at like 8 a.m. for a playoff game?
It's kind of girly. Yeah, I don't know. And of course, ladies can tailgate as well, obviously. But like for a dude, like, is it okay for a man with a beard to have mimosas before a football game?
I don't know that I was bearded back then.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm on board with it. I think it's fine because I like a good mimosa. And I also love wine. Like I love drinking. I love watching football and drinking wine. I'm more of a wine drinker than a beer drinker. I used to be a beer drinker and a hellraiser back in my day, but I don't drink a lot of beer. Like you see Tom Brady, he chugged another beer. Tom Brady, when they got...
And let me guess, he was amazing at it.
Yes, he was.
Of course he was.
He's amazing at everything. I can't stand him. But literally, like the Patriots just got their sixth Super Bowl ring, and so they had their stupid ring ceremony, and there's video of Tom Brady and one of their meathead offensive linemen chugging beers. Meathead starts chugging his beer. Wait for about 5 seconds, and then Tom Brady's like, okay, Junior. Boom. Brady knocked the beer out
Done.
In like 2 seconds. It's like, does he have to be good at everything?
Is he the new Fox? Do you remember the Fox on the Man Show back in the day? He could chug an entire beer.
Yeah.
In one, he'd be like, whoop, gone.
Yeah, that's right.
It was like one big gulp. The whole beer was gone.
He was the old guy, right?
Yeah. He was the organist.
Okay. Ziggy Saki. Oh, yeah. I love the man show. totally forgot about that. But it's close to that. It's impressive. Wow. And Brady, because he's so like suave and debonair about everything, he just looks cool while doing it, too. He looks like James Bond chugging a beer.
See, I don't get any suave out of Tom Brady. I think he looks like a giant nerd.
I think he is.
He's like a buff Sheldon Cooper. Nerdy.
He was super nerdy. He's absolutely nerdy. You listen to that guy talk, it's just terrible. I get it, dude. You're good at throwing footballs. Congratulations. You have six Super Bowl championships. I don't want to hear you talk. You have nothing interesting to say at all. And he is kind of nerdy. And if you watch, you remember that stupid Tom versus Time thing he did, that Facebook thing that he had a video series. He had like a docu-series where he documented his life on Facebook for the entire season, two seasons ago. So you get to see him hanging out with his kids and hanging out at home with Giselle and getting ready, watching film. And when you watch that guy for a half hour, you realize how boring he is. He's awful. But he looks suave. Like when he chugged the beer, like he's in his nice suit. You know, he's looked.
Please tell me he was not in a turtleneck.
He might have been. I think there might have been. I think I'll have to look at the video. I think the turtleneck might have been under the blazer. But he takes the beer. Just coolly, calmly, and casually, and slams it in like 2 seconds. It's impressive. I got to hand it to Tom Brady. I can't stand the guy, but the guy can chug a beer. I can't even chug a beer at this point. I don't know if I could.
You know what I think he is? I think he's Sacha Baron Cohen from Talladega Nights.
Oh, yeah. I can
what
see
was
that.
His character's name?
I don't know, but he was like a European
Jean
guy.
Girard.
Yeah.
He's just such a European.
Yeah.
Even though he's not.
Yeah, he does think he's European. Well, and he's married to a Brazilian, so they're kind of European. They're like the Europeans of South America.
I mean, they're Germans.
Yeah, pretty much. Tom Brady had chugged another beer. He got another ring. Congratulations. Yay, Boston won again. Hopefully, St. Louis, please, if you're listening, I know you guys are big fans of the show, end the series in six. We don't want any more Boston championships. Sticking with the NFL. Oh, before I get to that, my apologies for screwing up the tees leading into 5 o'clock. Literally, like, I got Greg Cody'd. I love Dan Le Batard. I'm a big fan of the Dan Le Batard show, and I know that Le Batard and Stu Gatz and the boys, they air here on ESPN Upstate from, 10 to 1. And I love it when Greg Cody, the old man, is on and, like, they hit him with the hard break where he's, like, in the middle of his take and then they cut him off because they had that hard break and they got to get to the national spots at the top of the hour. We have a hard break here at ESPN Upstate. And Diesel did tell me, he warned me about the hard break where you got to be out at 59:50 so we can get right into the ESPN update. And I didn't see the digital clock. I didn't have a digital clock, so I'm just literally like, it's like, boom, and he cut me off. And so I didn't even get into my tees. But I did want to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles have re-signed Carson Wentz to an extension. This is pretty big news. The Eagles signed, let me see if I have this. The Eagles signed Carson Wentz to a four-year deal, four-year extension. So Carson Wentz is going to be paid through 2024.
4 years, of which he'll play about 2.5 seasons in those 4 years.
Yeah, that's the thing with Wentz. He was going to be the MVP a couple years ago. Then he got hurt. Last year he came back. What he missed the first two or three games last year because he was still recovering from the torn ACL from the year prior, and he was pretty good last year. Wasn't quite the same. Wasn't quite as good as he was 2 years ago. But he got hurt once again, and Nick Foles came in and almost saved the day again because the Eagles went on that run. They won like three games in a row to get into the playoffs. Then they beat the Bears in that playoff game where your boy missed the field goal. And just that was crushing for the city of Chicago. But they move on from Nick Foles, and the Eagles today, they're going all in with Carson Wentz with this four-year deal. There's a lot of risk. There's definitely a lot of risk signing someone, obviously, that's injury prone. But if you're the Eagles, I mean, what are you supposed to do? If you get rid of Foles, you couldn't sign both of them. Maybe you choose Foles over Wentz, which is a possibility, but they chose to get rid of Nick Foles. So you got to sign Wentz, and I like this. I love this signing from the Eagles because of Wentz's upside. Yes, he's had a couple of seasons now where he's gotten hurt, but when he is on the field and he is healthy, he is one of the best quarterbacks in football. And last year, the ACL with, I don't care if it's quarterback, running back, wide receiver, usually an ACL is a 2-year injury. And the first year, unless if you're Adrian Peterson and you're like a cyborg, it takes you an extra year to kind of get back to being 100%. And especially if you injure it late in the year like he did last year. I think now that he's had a full year to, you know, year plus to recuperate, plus he's recuperated from the back spasms, I'm betting on Carson Wentz.
Do you think Nick Foles has a little bit of Ryan Fitzpatrick in him? Like he played so out of his mind for that one little blip.
Yep.
That's what we think of him as.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot of bad in Nick Foles' career.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Been a lot of bad. So, I mean, I understand why as the Eagles, you certainly can't hitch your wagon to Nick Foles, even though he went out and won you a Super Bowl. You can't do that.
No.
But they made the right choice.
I think they made the right choice as well. And I think that's a good comparison to Fitzmagic because he's just – Nick Foles.
And I love Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, me too.
I love him. Dude. I love his story. I love his big beard.
Yeah.
He's so goofy.
Yep.
He knows that, oh, my God, I played out of my mind for this little stretch.
Yep.
And enjoy it.
And he does it for little stretches of time, and then he comes crashing down to earth, and he becomes Fitz Tragic again. But did you see Ryan Fitzpatrick's no-look pass in practice? Google it. It just happened. I think it happened yesterday at Miami Dolphins OTAs. Fitzpatrick pulled a Patrick Mahomes. He pulled a no-look pass, and it was beautiful. It's just another reason to love that guy. I'm a big fan of Fitzmagic. But that's a good point when it comes to Foles. He is very similar because you remember Foles came out hot with Philadelphia the first time. Remember where he had the game where he had 7 touchdowns and no picks? Like when nobody knew who Nick Foles was, and I think it was against the Raiders, if I remember correctly. He had 7 touchdowns and no picks. It had never been done in an NFL game before that, I believe. And then he had that great year where he had like 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, and boom, Eagles sign him to a long-term contract, and then it really didn't work out. He moves on to Kansas City, and he was just basically warming the bench for Andy Reid behind Alex Smith. Never really got any action there. And then he comes back to Philly. Nick Foles was going to retire. He was going to like become a high school football coach. He didn't think he had anything left. And then, boom, he goes on that run to win a Super Bowl. And then and now he's gone again. I tell you what. Between Nick Foles with Jacksonville and Carson Wentz with Philly this year, I'm betting on Wentz. And Diesel, you agree, you'd bet on Wentz as well. There's another reason why I like this deal. And yes, it's risky, obviously, because of his injury history. It's an extension, so you have him locked up through 2024. And the average is like what, a little over $25 million a year? Let me see. I have it right here. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, the contract is worth $128 million over 4 years. That comes out to $32 million per year. The contract also guarantees a maximum value of $144 million. Most importantly, over $107 million is guaranteed. So $107 million guaranteed over 4 years. That's, what, $27 million a year. So, that's a lot of money, obviously. But it's not going to be a lot of money in NFL, according to NFL standards, 4 years from now. It'll be a bargain. Right now, it's like, oh, man, they're breaking the bank. They're giving him the most guaranteed money any quarterback's ever got at $107 million. But when the Eagles are paying him $27 million, you know, or $32 in that high 20s, low 30s range 4 years from now, and other quarterbacks are getting $50 million, then it ends up being a good deal. So I like that deal for the Eagles. And I believe, and I hate this because I can't stand the Eagles. I'm not an Eagles fan at all. But I think this sets the Eagles up to be the team to beat in the NFC East for the next several years. The Eagles have their quarterback situation taken care of. You have the Cowboys where they're going to re-sign Dak Prescott very soon. And we're going to get into that next segment because I have some other quarterbacks that are up for deals coming up over the next year. And we're going to play a little, you know, should you put a ring on it or not coming up next segment. But the Cowboys with Dak is pretty good, but I don't think he has the ceiling of Wentz. So they're going to sign him and kind of hamstring their team. And then you got the other two teams. You got Washington, you got a rookie, and you got the Giants with a rookie because Eli, we don't know how long he's going to play, and the Giants rookie sucks, the kid from Duke. So I think the Eagles are in the driver's seat.
What does this say about the NFL when we're signing quarterbacks to big deals based on tiny little snapshots of what we've seen from them.
Yeah.
And we've seen Dak Prescott be lights out. We've seen him be amazing, mm-hmm. magical.
Yep.
We've also seen him stink it up quite a bit.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. We have seen that. And Dak, one good thing about Dak Prescott, if you're a Cowboys fan, Dak doesn't get hurt. At least Dak, you know, what do they say? The best ability is availability. Dak is there for you, 16 games. I don't think he has Wentz's ceiling, per se, but he is there. Dak is there where Wentz, we're not really sure about whether or not he is going to be there. Now, though, the Eagles, if Wentz goes down, they don't have that safety net. They don't got Nick Foles backing them up anymore, so you're kind of putting all your eggs in one basket. Let's get Zach on the line. Zach Brown is on the line. What's going on, Zach?
I don't understand how you can just blatantly say that the Giants rookie sucks. I mean, have you seen Carson Wentz play? He's playing from a wheelchair for the last 2 years, for crying out loud. And Dak Prescott, he's awful. Yeah. Washington, they suck anyway. The Giants are going to win the NFC East.
Whoa!
Possibly Super Bowl.
You heard it here first from Zach Brown, the New York Football Giants. How many games did the Giants win last year? Like three?
It's four.
Yeah.
Three.
No, it is three, right? Is it three or four? It doesn't matter. They still suck. And you, come on. I know you're a Giants fan, obviously. You can't honestly believe that the Giants are going to win. With what? They traded Odell Beckham Jr. They don't have any. They got Saquon Barkley and 52 Hammond Eggers.
What else do you need? You got Saquon Barkley and you got a 2-time Super Bowl MVP quarterback. Don't hate. Congratulate, because they're going to win the Super Bowl, my man.
Oh, there
the
it is.
The whole thing.
All right. Thank you very much for the – did he just say don't hate on the Giants? All right. First, Zach Brown. It's impossible to hate on something that sucks. Like, you hate – I can hate on the Patriots all day because they win Super Bowls. You can hate on the Eagles because they won a Super Bowl the last couple of years. You can't hate on a team that's 3-13. You can't do it. And Saquon Barkley is amazing. I love Saquon Barkley, but it's Saquon Barkley and a bunch of 52 Uber drivers on that team. Come on. They're not going to do it. They're not going
to
win anything.
Can we safely say that Zach Brown's comments are brought to you by Schlitz Malt Liquor?
I think we can. Oh, man. It's just like I get it when you're a fan, but, man, take the red and blue glasses off. Like, come on. You can't be serious. The Giants, you know what you have, and you don't have much there. All right, coming up next, I have a list from ESPN.com. 11 quarterbacks who could get mega extensions in 2019. Should these NFL teams put a ring on it and give them that extension? We'll talk about that on the other side. Should they stay? Or should they go? We're going to get into that here in a second. Jeff Pantridge, you can call me Pants, filling in for Mark Sturgis. Sturgis off until he's going to be off next week as well. They're out with the Sturgis family, and they're cruising. They're doing their thing.
Yeah, they're going to be in international waters.
Yes. Yeah.
Where anything goes.
Yeah, with Sturge.
Imagine Sturge with no rules.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm trying. Wow. Yeah, that's going to be that's going to be a scary thing.
I hope they threw an extra couple cases of Crown Royal on the boat, because they're going to need it.
He loves himself some Crown.
Loves it.
Yeah, that's his drink. Crown and Coke, that's his thing,
yep.
Right? Yeah, it's like, yeah, he never drinks beer, never drinks anything else. So, like,
Crown and Coke and Fireball.
Yeah.
That's all he drinks.
Like, I don't think I've ever met somebody that just drinks one thing.
I don't think I've ever met anybody over the age of 35 that likes Fireball.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Specifically requests it.
Yeah.
99 times out of 100, somebody says, hey, I bought a round of Fireball. Everybody at the table goes,
yeah, that's that look you get.
Okay.
I like Fireball, but it's in small doses. Like, maybe
A shot.
That's it.
But once you get up to 3, 4, 5 shots,
oh, then it's
too much.
There's something in Fireball, too. I don't know what it is. It makes you wild. Fireball is like the Jaeger of this generation.
The crazy thing is, it was a failed product. It was already another kind of liquor that didn't do very well. So they just rebranded it as Fireball. Yeah. And people are like, oh, we love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Fireball is certainly popular. Yeah. And Sturge, he was drinking a few of them last night. Yeah, he was fired up on the Fireball. So, yeah, Sturge. Mark Sturgis on international waters is a scary, scary thing. But we are holding the fort down for Sturge. And, I'm just trying not to burn the place down. I got a lot of responsibility here, Diesel. You know, I got to host the show, But more importantly, I'm house sitting. I'm house sitting for Sturge, so I got to watch the house. I'm driving his car. He's happy, you know. He's nice enough to give me his car. So I'm driving his car. I'm watching his show, and I'm watching his house, watching his animals. You ever house sat before? There's a lot of pressure.
Not at that level.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone over, put a little water in the plant.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah, I've done that before, and like I've never had an animal. I don't have any kids, as far as I know. I've never had an animal. I had a plant once for like a weekend, and it just didn't work. You know, I killed the thing.
So, you could kill a cactus, is what you're saying.
Yeah, probably. I'm that guy. Yeah, but now I'm in charge of the dogs and the cat. But we're good. I'm gonna be holding it down at a Casa de Sturge.
At least he's got sweet dogs.
His dogs are awesome.
They just want to hang out with you.
Yeah,
they just want to be there on your lap.
Yep.
Having a good time.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'll be hanging out at the Sturge compound and hanging out with his dogs. It's gonna be fun. I enjoy house sitting. I've done it a couple times. I wonder if there's a way you could pretty much do anything today and get paid. Like, do they have, like, professional house sitters? Like, how? Yeah, maybe,
you know what? I'm going to find out.
Yeah, because that would be a cool gig. Just get paid to house sit. If anybody out there in the upstate is listening and you need a house sitter, I'm your guy. Like, call your buddy Pants. I'll do it for you. No problem at all. If you pay me to house sit, I mean, that's probably the coolest gig ever. It's better than hosting a sports radio show.
Luxuryhousesitting.com.
Look at that. Okay. And I guess you have to have, I wonder what kind of resume you have to have you got to have experience. You got to be like a world-class house sitter.
Cost you $25 a year to get yourself on the website.
Okay.
But then you make that back after one house sitting thing.
Exactly.
All you got to do is get one gig and you're making money.
Yeah. What a sweet gig it is. All right, $25 a year? That's what, or a month?
Just to $25 a year.
$25 a year.
To register with their website.
I'm going to do it after the show. Yeah.
There you go.
I think I've discovered a new plan in life, because whatever I'm doing now, it's not working. Yeah, I'm not making enough money. I want to do the least amount possible for the most amount of money, like we all do. So imagine if you could just get paid to sit. I mean, sitting is in the name, or it's in the name. It's house sitting.
I mean, I'm looking at their photo. It looks like it's a beautiful cottage.
Oh, let me see.
It's a beautiful cottage, and there's a couple walking some dogs, which are clearly photoshopped into the photo. That's not even close to being real.
I would totally house sit there.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
man,
even if you just had to go out and cut the grass once.
Yeah. No, I'll hire somebody to do that, because I'll just pay them what I'm making. Like, it's like tipping out. If you're
making
server.
$500 to watch the house,
I'll
pay a guy
$100.
$75 to cut the lawn.
Cut the lawn? Yeah, I would absolutely do that. So, hey, anybody out there in the upstate, if you need a house sitter, I can water some plants. I'm good, man. And I can watch dogs.
At
cats.
Pants Party Radio on Twitter. Look him up.
Hit me up. I need a new job, man. I love this. I think this is a really good idea, and this could change my life, hopefully. So if you're looking for a house sitter, we'll see how I do. We'll see how I do with Sturge, but I think we'll be all right. As long as I don't burn the place down, we're going to be good. So I got a list of quarterbacks here. Last segment, we are talking about Carson Wentz has just re-upped with the Philadelphia Eagles, signed a 4-year extension, and he's going to be locked up through 2024. So I have a list of NFL quarterbacks that are on the last year of their deal. You got some rookies, or not rookies, you got some young guys, you got some old guys, and we're going to play a little should he stay or should he go with some of these quarterbacks. First up, Big Ben Roethlisberger. Big Ben is 65 years old, I do believe. But he's got 1 year left. 1 year is $17 million in cash with a $23.2 million cap hit. Now, Roethlisberger is obviously getting up there in age. They don't have the talent that they had before. They don't have Bell. They don't have Brown. I don't think the Steelers are a team that's poised for a Super Bowl run over this year or the next year. If I'm the Steelers, and I like the Steelers, I enjoy watching the Steelers. I've always been a fan of theirs. 37 years old, Big Ben Roethlisberger, after this year, I think the Steelers got to cut bait.
It's time to go.
Yeah.
It's time to go. And if you're Ben, just go ahead and get out. Go ahead and get out while you're young.
Yeah, I know.
Man, you're a relatively young guy. You're an old quarterback, but you're a young guy.
Yep.
And if he does want to keep playing, he has a big name.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trade value in Ben Roethlisberger.
Sure.
We had a former co-host who was here on the show, Josh Phillips, who was talking about getting rid of Aaron Rodgers from the Green Bay Packers. Really? Said get rid of him now while he still has trade value.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Granted, that was, I think, 2 seasons ago. Yeah, he went on to have a monster season.
Uh-huh.
And the point was rendered moot. However, it was still true.
Yeah.
Get trade value for him while you can.
Oh, sure.
The question is, what do the Steelers have in backup?
They got Mason Rudolph, and I don't know if he's going to pan out. You know, he was good at Oklahoma State. We'll see. And I think they just signed somebody else. I'm pretty sure they signed, like, a decent backup, because I think Rudolph might actually be their third stringer. But they don't have, like, a slam dunk guy that's going to come in there. But we'll see how Pittsburgh does this year, because a lot of people don't think they're going to be great. Maybe they have a down year. Maybe they go 6-10, and then they can draft a quarterback, in the top 10. We'll see with Pittsburgh. But I'm cutting bait, too. Big Ben. Ben, it's time to go. It's funny with Ben. A couple years ago, he kept hinting at retirement. He was saying all these things like, I don't know. And then now he says he wants to play till he's like 40-something. And I think Big Ben figured it out. Same thing that Tom Brady figured out, that playing quarterback in the NFL now in 2019 is pretty damn easy. And you don't get touched anymore. So, like, it's not as physical for quarterbacks anymore. They can keep playing and keep making millions. The quarterbacks make 5 times as much as anybody else on the field. Just keep stacking paper. So I don't blame Big Ben for wanting to play, another 3 or 4 years. But we'll see if the Steelers want to re-up him. I wouldn't, because the way to win in the NFL now is to load up everywhere else. You get that quarterback on the rookie deal and load up everywhere else and go for it, because the quarterbacks are much more advanced now than they were 10, 15 years ago. They come in usually year 2, year 3. They're off and running. Patrick Mahomes, second year in the league, basically his rookie year because he only started 1 game last year, lit the league on fire. Baker Mayfield, rookie year, did very well. Carson Wentz, in his second year, lit the league on fire. So that's the way to do it nowadays. If you want to win a Super Bowl, you don't want to put all your money in a quarterback when your quarterback is 37 years old. If I'm the Steelers, I'm moving on from Big Ben. Next up, Philip Rivers. Should he stay or should he go? Philip Rivers has 1 year left on his deal as well. Same thing as Big Ben, and I think Rivers is a little better than Big Ben at this point in their careers, but you got to start looking towards the future. I'm not signing. I'd maybe try to extend him to like another year or two, but you don't want to lock up too much money with
I'm Rivers. Still shocked that he's still a starting quarterback in the NFL.
But he's good. He's still good. Yes.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yes, he's good. Absolutely. Philip Rivers is the most underrated player.
He wasn't
in
good
football.
Enough to keep his team in its city.
Well, yeah, but, that wasn't his fault. It's the San Diego fans' fault. Nobody cares. You ever been to San Diego?
But if he was better, more fans would have been there to see him.
No, not really, because of San Diego. They don't care. No, like if they won the Super Bowl, they wouldn't care because there's more stuff to do in San Diego. It's beautiful. It's 75 degrees every day. You got the best beaches in the world. I'm not going to sit inside a football stadium and watch Philip Rivers. I'm going to go hang out with all those pretty California girls on the beach, man.
I've just never gotten the Philip Rivers hype.
See, I've always thought he was underrated. Like, I'd say he's a top 10 quarterback, maybe top 7. And you look at his numbers. His numbers are crazy. Philip Rivers, it's funny that he plays for the Chargers, because I'm going to sound like the old guy Sturge here, but he reminds me a lot of Dan Fouts, because Dan Fouts played forever with the San Diego Chargers, put up a bunch of numbers, never got to a Super Bowl. And it seems that Rivers is in the same spot. As much as I love Philip Rivers, though, you have to start looking towards the future. Dude is 37 years old. If I'm the Chargers, moving on. Sticking with the 2004 draft class, Eli Manning has 1 year left. I mean, really? What are you doing, New York? Just get... They should have cut Eli Manning 3 years ago. Just stop it with Eli Manning. He shouldn't even be allowed on the team bus anymore. That guy, he's out. I'm sorry. Tom Brady. I'm assuming you would cut Eli as well. You cutting bait with Eli?
Yeah. No chance I'd keep Eli Manning around.
That goes.
He's a glorified mascot at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, he kind of looks like one. Tom Brady. This is interesting. Tom Brady has 1 year left on his deal. What is he, 41 years old now? He'll be 42 going into this season. Tom Brady's still Tom Brady, man.
Yeah.
You gotta resign that
guy. At 41 years old,
yeah,
he's still better than everybody else.
Yeah, he can chug beer better than everybody else, too. You got to re-up Tom Brady. And he's the kind of guy, he's not going to hamstring the team with a big contract either. Sign Tom Brady for 2 more years. Let him play out this year at 42, and then 43 and 44, and then maybe he can ride off to the sunset. I would extend Tom Brady. Drew Brees. Drew Brees is 40 years old, and he's going to be 41, and he's got 1 year left on his deal.
You gotta keep Drew Brees around.
I think you got him.
He
is the New Orleans Saints. It's hard because he is the face of that city, especially after with winning the Super Bowl after Hurricane Katrina. He's a god there.
That team, that franchise, will sink back into mediocrity without him.
Yeah. No, I don't think so, man. I don't. Is it him or is it the offense? Is it Peyton? Is it Sean? Because the Saints, Teddy Bridgewater, we'll see what he does. They re-signed him for another year. I think the Saints might move on from Drew Brees.
Or is Sean Payton a guy that just walks as well? When Drew walks, he walks.
Maybe, because there's been the rumors that Peyton's going to go to the Cowboys forever. Yeah, like that's been going on for like 5 years. So I could see that happening. I could see the Saints moving on from Drew Brees, which I think is the right move. As much as I love Drew Brees and respect him and respect the Saints as an organization, I think it's time for them to cut bait with Brees and either see what they have with Bridgewater over the next few years or draft a young quarterback. But Brees isn't at Brady's level anymore. Brees is, they're basically the same age. I think Brees is a year younger, but Brady is way up here. Brees, you can see him slowing down.
He's falling off.
Yeah, he is definitely falling off in my mind. All right, how about, who do we got here?
Do one more.
One more. Okay, one more. Should we do, you want to do Jared Goff or Dak Prescott?
Let's go Jared Goff.
Jared Goff. All right, so Goff has 2 years left on his contract, $28 million in cash, $8 million cap hit in 2019, and a $24 million cap hit in 2020.
He's a young quarterback.
Yeah. I need to see more from Goff. I'm still not a believer in Jared Goff.
The problem is if you sign him, you're going to have to give him a big deal.
Yeah.
You're not going to get him cheap.
The good thing is they have 2 years left. This, to me, if I'm the Rams, this is a prove-it year for Jared Goff. Mm-hmm. If you got to show me you're worth a big contract, because he hasn't shown me that yet. He's had spurts where he's been good, but he disappeared in that Super Bowl. He was awful in the Super Bowl. And I've still, and he was in the same draft class as Wentz. I've always thought Wentz was better than Goff. I've just never been a Jared Goff guy. I didn't think he was great in college. I didn't think he should have been the first overall pick that year. And you remember, he was like the third string quarterback with the Rams because Jeff Fisher was an idiot.
Yeah.
But he was like, he couldn't even get second string. He couldn't even handle the snap. He was fumbling the snap all the time. And he's come back to have a pretty good career. He seems to be a pretty good young NFL quarterback. But is he worth re-signing?
I think you put him in the right situation as they did, and he flourished. Now, of course, I think you might be expecting a little bit too much. The first time you get put into that massive situation, if he falls flat or if he fails, is that career defining? And you're essentially saying that, yes, that kind of is career defining. You were put in a situation and you blew it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Is he going to have another opportunity to get into that situation? Can he improve from there?
Yeah.
I say yes.
Okay.
I say yes, he has a chance. I say keep him.
Okay.
He stays.
By the way, you guys can, of course, you can react to all of this if you'd like on the phones and on the text line. We can continue this conversation on the other side. 844-GSP-ESPN. Text us at 71307. But coming up next, we're going to play a little game. You ever hear these sports talk radio hosts do their Mount Rushmore conversations? It's the worst. We hate that over here. We're going to give you Mount Flushmore. That's right. Who has the worst fans in sports? We'll tell you on the other side. It is Straight Up with Sturge. Without Sturge, Jeff Pantridge filling in, hanging out with Diesel. Big Daddy Cold Diesel kicking it here until 7 o'clock, and we'll be here all next week as well. All right, so it's June, and if you listen to a lot of sports talk radio, June is kind of we're getting towards those summer doldrums. We're kind of in them right now. At least we still have some NBA. We still have some NHL to talk about.
Yeah.
But June, July is really rough.
This is when everybody takes vacation.
Yeah.
And you make part-timers do it.
Exactly.
People who are less than professional are filling in for radio sports talk during the summer.
That's what we're doing right now. This is about as it doesn't get more less than professional, or yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it doesn't get more less. Does it get more? Is that does that work?
More doesn't less. Get more less.
It doesn't get more less professional than this. Yeah, see, that's weird to say because it's like more and less at the same time. That's how less professional we are. But a lot of sports talk show hosts is in these summer doldrums. They have these stupid Mount Rushmore conversations. You ever hear these guys like, oh, who's the Mount Rushmore? Who are the best four quarterbacks of all time? Who would you put on your Mount Rushmore? And it's like, that's all you got?
Yeah.
That's all you got?
It's like, you're the one who came up with this bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, oh, I can't stand Mount Rushmore talk. It's just, it's a staple for sports talk hosts in the summertime because there's not a lot to talk about. It's like, come on, you do better than that. So we're going to give you Mount Flushmore. We're very negative here. I'm a negative guy. I like to trash everything. I was last night when we were hanging out at the bar, I was trashing everybody, trashing all their teams and trashing the Bruins. And cause that's more fun. It's more fun to hate than it is to love, isn't it?
Yeah, eating your salad and drinking your red wine.
That's what I was doing. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Hey, I tell you what.
You're more like Tom Brady than you think.
A little bit, yeah. yeah, seems like it. I'm way cooler than that guy, though. But we definitely had a good time out at the bar. But it kind of gave me this idea. Diesel and I had this idea of doing a Mount Flushmore, and I wanted to celebrate the worst in people. And in this case, we're going to celebrate who would you put on your Mount Rushmore of worst sports fans in America. You can weigh in. You can get us on Twitter at ESPN right. Upstate.
College, pro.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
I mean, even if you want to say Little League baseball team, that's fine.
Yeah. Totally
you got to back
okay.
it up. You got to have a story, though.
Exactly.
You can't just throw somebody under the bus. You got to have a story and a reason why.
We need more Little League baseball hate here in Sports Talk Radio. Yeah. Like, I want grown men calling the show and just hating on a Little League team. That'd be great. I'm totally on board with that. But you can hit us up 844-GSP-ESPN. You can get us on our text line 71370. You can tweet us as well at ESPN Upstate, at Pants Party Radio, at Diesel on Radio.
71307.
Oh, did I get that wrong?
Yeah, you did. But oh, now you're going on the Mount Flushmore.
Exactly.
You got it wrong.
Yeah, well, I'm less than a professional.
Just
yeah.
be sure to start your text with ESPN so we see it.
Yes, exactly. All right, are you ready for my Mount Rushmore, my Mount Flushmore?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Worst sports fans in America. Number 4, Florida State. Yeah.
Tell us why the Seminoles made number 4 on the list.
They're the worst people on earth. I mean, yes, I'm a Gator fan. Yes, I'm a Gator grad. But Florida State fans have always been just so annoying.
Yeah.
They're like Gator fans are known for wearing their jorts. But Florida State fans are way more rednecky than yeah. Gator fans could ever be. And I know we have a lot of Clemson supporters here. So you guys hate Florida State too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we can all agree that Florida State sucks and their fans are terrible.
Can't Next see. Up on the Mount Flushmore.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, hello.
South Carolina baseball fans.
What's wrong with South
Carolina? You won some national titles, what, 27 years ago?
Yeah.
I understand it was like 8 years ago. Actually, it was... look, it's been a while, okay? Yeah. You got to come down off that mountain eventually. You got to understand that everything is cyclical, mm-hmm. and you were not anointed to get into the College World Series and win it every single year.
Yeah.
Look, if you get back there, I'll be excited for you. I'll give you all the credit in the world. I'll give you all the credit you deserve. If you get back there, win another national title. But quit trying to act like you should just be granted a national title because you're South Carolina.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah. Wow. The hate is strong with this one. South Carolina baseball coming in hard. I love it. All right. My number 3, Mount Flushmore.
Oh. Sorry.
This is awful. This is an awful bit. My number 3 worst fans in the United States of America, New York Yankees fans.
Oh, yeah.
They're bad.
Yeah.
They're just obnoxious.
They're bad at everything.
They're just so obnoxious. Since I was born to hate the Yankees. I hate the Yankees. I can't stand the Yankees, but I hate their fans so much more. I'd rather watch the Yankees win the next 100 World Series than watch a Yankees fan celebrate one. It's just they're the scourge of the earth. I can't stand Yankees yeah. fans.
Well, number 4 on the Mount Flushmore.
Yeah.
Ooh. Sorry.
I think these sound bites.
Georgia Southern football fans. Georgia Southern fans.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
They come out in droves and they throw things on the field and they say, oh, it's you, but it's your fault. You did something last year, so we get to do something this year.
Just because
somebody else did something bad doesn't make it doesn't excuse you from doing something bad yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I've heard that argument before. Mm-hmm. Oh, doing this isn't bad because other people do this. Who cares?
Yeah.
You both did something bad.
Yeah.
They were chucking frisbees. You know, they had Frisbee Day. Frisbee Day.
It was a football game?
Well, they weren't Frisbees. They were these little cardboard circles that had Georgia Southern logos on it.
Okay.
And they were losing the game, so they started chucking these things out onto the field, interrupting the game when they were losing the game. That's bad.
I mean, is that on them or is that on the people that gave them these deadly objects?
Also, like,
don't give drunken college fans deadly missiles to throw.
Also bad that their administration thinks it's a good idea to put their student section right behind the visiting team's bench.
Oh, yeah.
Not a good idea.
Never a good idea. All right. My number two. We got a break here?
Yeah, we got to take off.
All right. Well, we'll save numbers one and two for the next segment. We'll wrap up the hour coming up next. Love it. Yeah, we got to have some mountain music.
If anybody's about my age,
yeah.
Took a couple of sick days off from school, you know exactly what this music is.
Yeah, man, Price is Right. Gotta love this. Yeah,
it's one of my favorite games.
What was it called?
I think it was called Mountain Climber.
Okay,
I think.
Yeah. All right, speaking of mountains, we are doing our Mount Flushmore. The worst sports fans in America.
Mm-hmm.
And we only have a couple minutes left in this segment, so we got to be pretty quick.
Yeah.
Diesel, you and I agree on our number two worst sports fan in America? No doubt.
Sorry.
Boston. Boston anything.
Boston.
Yeah.
All doesn't matter what sport it is.
Yep.
Doesn't matter what team it is. Boston fans. Horrible.
They're the worst people on earth. They really are. I loved watching them in pain for so many years when the Red Sox had their curse, and now they win all the time, and they're just obnoxious about it. It's awful. I can't stand Boston fans on any level. All right. My number one on Mount Flushmore is, they're even more annoying than Boston fans, Ohio State. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, they're the worst people on earth. Nobody is more obnoxious than Ohio State.
And we've had both a Boston fan and an Ohio State fan in the building today.
Yeah, yeah, we have.
And Lonzo and Diddy.
Yeah, two terrible people.
Yeah.
And I love Lonzo and Diddy, but yeah, no.
My number one, you know, if you're a fan, you're going to say, oh, this guy's wrong. But if you're not a fan, you'll totally get it.
Yeah.
Clemson football fans.
Oh, here we go.
You're getting there.
Yeah.
Clemson fans, understand, just like I just lit up South Carolina baseball fans, you're getting on that obnoxious, arrogant side.
Yeah.
And it's creeping up on you fast. Understand it is not going to last forever, and eventually you're going to come back down. Maybe it's 5 years from now. Maybe it's 10 years from now. But you're going to have that, you know, 4 or 5-win season, and it's going to be rough.
The hate is real with Diesel. If you want to tweet Diesel at Diesel on Radio, he just went in on Clemson.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.